Alrighty, folks. That's like my most radio voice I could possibly have. Today's guest is actually my first multi-guest that I've ever had. This is Tops of Trees, and we had three of the trees come and sit for a little while, and we all chatted just kind of about band things and life, and as you know, as this podcast is. And yeah, they just released an album at the end of 2025, I believe. So you should go check it out. And we do talk about this a couple of times, but in the very early days of this band, I actually did sing some of the backup vocals. So I feel very personally connected to this band. And they're just a lovely, wonderful group of people. So I hope you all enjoy this episode.
Talking to normal people.
But yeah, okay, so this is my first like band episode.
Ooh, okay.
Hey. Yeah. Ever.
What was that?
Send that my way one more time. the cow band?
You're starting at the top.
Oh yeah, for sure. How are you guys all feeling today?
I've been slightly allergic to everything. I'm great.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Same. I've been working outside all day yesterday, so it was a lot of what she's experiencing, I'm sure.
Yes. So. Yes.
We're a big Claritin band.
Yeah.
Honestly,
some people
daily
like the
Claritin.
Other C word, we like the C word. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Tops of the trees.
Tops. Yeah, also yeah. That. We're yeah, talking about right? trees.
God,
talking about
this
trees.
This is all tying together so well.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Wow. So, how does it feel like being in a band?
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a ride for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it's one of those things where we've collaborated with a bunch of people that really get together well together, and I don't know, what would you say?
For me, I just like working with shared visions. You know, something about working by yourself, but I prefer being on teams. I've always enjoyed teamwork.
Which is working, so funny because you're a teacher, though.
Working
two teachers in the band.
Yeah, but I'm a teacher, true. You know. But like my team is my class every day, so
yeah,
I can look at myself as being the dictator in the class, or you could be just a member of the community, right? So I may have a little more experience than you. I'm here to guide, you know, in a community of learners. Huh. I would say kind of same thing in the bands. We all have our different visions and our own different skills, and we all bring something different. So I just love it all coming together.
Yes.
Plus, like when it falls apart, like it's not all you either. So.
Yeah.
Hey, we all dropped the ball on that one, didn't we?
Nobody posted on social media this month.
Oh my God! Wow. Yeah, for me, there's just me. It's like nobody posted on social media this month. Damn it! Wait, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. That must be nice to just like share the load a little.
Yeah,
sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we spend more time with each other than our families sometimes, it's like, okay, well, if we can't count on each other, then that's kind of a bummer. So it is cool that we have all these people picking up the slack and making things work.
Yeah, and it goes in waves. Like,
it does.
So someone's feeling motivated for 6 to 8 weeks, and they're picking up the boat, and then like, you know.
Then I'm done.
And then I just can't anymore. And then she's down, you know, where did she go for these past 3 weeks? Yeah. And then someone else will kind of pick it up.
That's so nice. I mean, that is the basis of like a well-working community, I think, is that it kind of is in flux all the time like that. And then you can kind of like respect each other in those moments of like, I need a break, so you take over. It's kind of just picking up that's beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's really nice.
It's a lot to juggle, you know? You know, everybody in this community kind of knows that there's a lot, not only with just the music end of it, but the social media, the, you know, getting the gigs, getting the promotions out there, all that stuff. It's a lot to carry. So having a big band like us, it definitely helps spread that out.
Yeah.
This is a whole different world too. Like I came from cover band world where you're just like, oh, you need a band, we'll be there. This is how much we cost, you know?
Okay.
And like, don't have to do social media really, because this place is going to be packed anyway.
Yep.
So looking into this world where these guys, you know, you got to have the connections, you got to know who you're talking to at what place, and like, you're making friends with everybody too, but it is important to be out there and connect versus just being like, hey, I got a great cover band and we play lots of great songs, people are gonna dance, you know? Like it's a whole different world, and it's been fun to like experience all the little facets that you kind of have to delve into.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Can you guys actually introduce yourselves?
Oh, sure. You can start from there.
I am Damien Ubriaco.
He is, in fact.
I am. I was yesterday. Probably will be tomorrow.
Probably.
We at some so. Point, I will be somebody else.
Yep.
But in this lifetime, I go by Damien Ubriaco. Yes.
What do you do in the band?
That's what you say.
I do a good portion of singing, playing rhythm guitar or tambourine, and songwriting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And part of the collaboration of all those things. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, I'm Troy Helmer. I play drums, percussion, and sing vocals.
Sick.
And I'm Ashley Cross, and I do backup vocals, and I do the tambourine. And since I don't really play any instruments, actually, I just dance a lot.
That's what I do. You do some great. Lead singing, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do some lead singing, too. I actually have one song that these guys let me write on the upcoming album, which is like a thrill for me.
That's so fun. Is this the first time you've written a song?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. How is that process?
Wild, because like I don't really know how to write songs. Like the music part of it, I don't know scales. Like I can say, if someone tells me this is a C boop, I'll be like, okay, that's a C for right now.
I actually wonder what that note is. I'm like, boop, boop. What is that? Boop.
What is it? Are you? Do you have perfect pitch? Maybe.
No, I don't have perfect pitch, but I can feel it like in my body where I'm like, I know that that's like probably like boop, probably like an A.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So I was.
I couldn't tell you what.
That's what I'm saying.
No, an A isn't that far off from C actually. It's only a third away. A B C. Correct.
So it was really fun because, you know, Alex, our keyboardist, is a music teacher, and he's really good at explaining to me like, okay, this is a great harmony for you to do, or you could do this one, or like, how about you go here with that melody,
so nice.
Which happened a lot during the creation. And these guys all contribute, you know, to like whatever part is missing. It was just cool. I just came up with the lyrics and the melody.
Great.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, but also I have to say that you didn't just come up with the lyrics and melody. Well, you wrote the lyrics and the melody.
Yeah, but the guys did the rest.
That's like a whole big portion of the song.
Okay, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess that's a little bit relevant.
Yeah, anything can happen underneath it, but it's like, we got to hear this good stuff up top.
Actually, you know, now that I'm remembering, I think Alex had come in with like, oh, I like, this is a chord progression I'm working with. And I was like, I have lyrics and a melody that would go great with that.
Cool.
So that was that. And I'm so excited to start this next chapter of songwriting because
good. Yeah. So then you were like, I have these lyrics and melody. Like you had that in your brain.
Yeah,
so you've been a little bit like you've had that songwriter thing
in here. Yeah. Yeah. So I have in my phone, I've got my whole notes section
Dude.
With like lyrics. Right?
Yes.
Who knows if they'll ever see the light of day, but then
100%.
In my, you know, voice memos, right? Like, and I just started doing it because that's what everybody says. That's how they write music. Like, oh, I'm just have an idea and then I'll like record it. So I've got, guys, just so you guys know, heads up.
Oh.
I've got a lot of ideas and I hope that they.
I got ideas.
Yeah. I got a lot of
Better
ideas.
Watch out. LeFou, I'm afraid I've been thinking.
I do have this like idea that someday when I die, someone's going to go through all these voice memos.
Dude,
be like, oh, that's a good one.
My thing is they're going to go through these voice memos and be like, she was terrible. Listen to this. Like, it's like, literally the other day I was like trying to find this like riff and I got it. I didn't realize I was recording the whole time I was like writing this like bit. And then all of a sudden it was like,
oh my gosh.
And I was like, oh my God.
No,
and I like listened to it back and I was like, this is horrifying. Like no one should ever hear this.
You go ahead.
I was going to say, it's the worst when you think you sounded so good. You're like, can't wait to listen to that. And then you're like, ooh, we need to delete that right now.
A lot of mine are like in the middle of the night. But like,
yes.
I'm trying to not wake up Deb. So
yes.
I'm like, whispering to yourself. Yes. Like a half drunk man whispering.
Can you play that into the mic for our Halloween show?
Yes. Oh my God.
Sometimes you wake the next morning, you're like, oh, I can hear the melody still. And
yes, it's like, it's still like I can hear the hint.
Some days you're like, oh, no, it was so good in my dream.
It was. But. Yeah, in my dream. Yeah, because, and then also sometimes you'll hear, like, when I do that, I can hear JP in the background, like, like whatever, like you hear him and I'm like, shh, go back to bed. Yeah. Da, 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 da. Yeah. So yes, correct. That's about what the dream sounds like. Yeah. Oh my God. Do you ever dream songs? Either of you two?
He did. Oh, yeah. He came up with this one just the other day. We were kind of toying around with it and he started doing that. Probably what he did into the voice memo. What was it? What was the sound?
Yeah, it was like, I can't remember.
Come on. Come on.
Are you ready for a good time? What? Are you ready to have some s'more? Huh? Are you ready for a good time? What? So get down on the floor.
Oh, God. I think that's the first song we're going to write for the next album, honestly.
It would be a full song in my dream, though.
Oh, my God.
And I woke up, and I was like, I'm getting that shit down.
There you go.
Yes.
Deb, wake up. I got a song. No, you hear me out. Hear me out. It's going to be really good.
God.
And it wasn't us playing it. It was like another band. Like I was at a show and I was watching them on stage.
Oh.
And I was just like, damn, I like this. And I was like, remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's that thing too where sometimes you're too tired and then you're like, I'll remember it. Never do. No, never do.
Yeah, I remember reading about like Neil Young. It's like he was always like, when the song comes, everything else stops.
Yep.
Like, you know, the probably where his marriage ended. But like this song takes precedence, right? So
yes.
That's it. Yeah.
No, it's true. Because I also was listening to this podcast and this guy was talking about how like all creative things exist already and then they get like shot down into somebody's brain, right?
Yeah.
And so then like if you don't take it, it'll just go to the next person. Ooh, who it's like got to go to.
So we're getting downloads.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Okay. I mean, doesn't it feel like, sometimes I feel like songwriting feels like a download.
It's just coming out. You're like, where's this coming from? I don't know who is this?
Yeah.
You know, like, especially in the shower, which I'm like, I need a new phone case if I'm going to be doing this a lot, you know?
I've never had song. Well, actually, that's a lie. I totally have. Because then you're like doing that thing where you're like, I'm like trying to do the voice memo thing and my hand's all wet. And you're like, I got this. I had a thing where it was like, I was in the middle of writing a song and then I was like, I got to go. Like, I got it. I didn't have the chance to stop life for the song.
Yeah.
But I was like, I gotta like go take a shower before I leave. And I'm in the shower and then I was like still like I'm like washing my hair and I'm like, like singing into the thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, music can be dangerous, you know.
Yeah. Oh, 100% driving.
It's like a history. You go back to a song that's finished now, like say a song on the album.
Oh yeah.
And I'm looking through like my memos for like new ideas that were old, right?
Yeah.
And then I hear like the first time the spark for a song that we just finished recording.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're just like, sometimes it's like, yeah, it's pretty much the spark.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, whoa, the band took it in such a different direction.
Yes.
Like Pocket Change, when we first rehearsed it, it kind of had a country feel to it.
I think that was Frontline.
Or Frontline.
Yeah,
Frontline.
Yeah.
Whoa, which I know that song.
Yeah,
that's,
can you talk
wild.
About that? That's so fun. sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I love that you were on the recordings.
That's right.
The first album.
Yeah,
and
that's
so, like,
right.
When I went to audition for the band, I was listening to your version of, like,
funny.
Oh, cool. Because, you know, I think I had been following you before I even auditioned for this band.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
And I didn't know you had worked with them. So I recognized your name. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I, like, kind of knew your vocals and, like, how you sing. And it's a little different for me, but I really like it. So I was just like, how can I make this mine? You know, like, didn't want to change it too much. But it was just It was a fun to have like a template to work with.
Oh,
and
that's
you did a
cool.
Great job. So
oh, thank
that
you.
Was cool.
Thank
that
you.
Was, like, awesome.
It was fun. It was really fun to do that. It was like just like it was nice to have a reprieve from like me being center focus. That was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard to like. It's just hard to be in like so many projects.
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like I'm just like. Just talking about how like you guys can spread the wealth of like, oh yeah, you can do some of the marketing, you can do some of the booking, you can do some of this, whatever. And then I'm just like trying to do all of those things for me and then also be in projects and also have a job and also have like, you know, a life and sleep.
A life.
Who needs all that?
Who needs that? Who needs that? I'm like, I need things to write about that aren't, you know, the death of my parents. So
you're like, so I was at a show the other night.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Which also is kind of a cool thing to write about too.
Yeah,
like
that is kind of cool.
People do like those like songs about musicians being musicians.
Yeah.
I think people like that. There's some, I don't really write about that because my shows are just like, we all cried. Like my shows. So, yeah. Oh my God.
Oh,
that's wild.
I saw some singer like a year ago and she was selling tissues at the show. Man, that might be
that's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Still packing
that,
the picture
please.
On it.
Wow.
There you go.
Oh boy. I feel like that's a great thing to have at the merch table.
Oh, that's
do you do a merch table?
No, that's
Oh God, get some tissues with your
sticker. Yeah, no, I gotta do that. Oh, I'm actually like my brain is like
You're like, which sticker company?
I'm already going. It's ruminating.
Podcast
now.
Over.
Sorry. The song I'm getting the download, I have to go. You guys are out.
That's it.
Oh my God, that's great. What kind of merch do you guys have?
Oh boy, we have some really fun hats. We just got new shirt colors.
I've
been setting up the merch table recently, and I'm really enjoying that part of my
really
job.
I love setting up the merch table. I love creating the vibe.
I'm like, ooh, if we got a clothespin and put it right here, this would be a little tighter, you know, like
yeah.
kind of stuff. It's
yeah.
just fun.
We have the usual stuff.
Hot sauce.
That's right. You guys have the hot sauce. That's right.
Hot sauce.
I'm like really pumped about. Cute. So I do gardening and I work with herbs and stuff. I had this idea. We were talking about drinks. Remember signature drinks for something?
Oh yeah.
And so I started getting on ChatGPT. I was like, you know, and I don't like to use it a lot, but I was like, I don't know anything about mixing drinks. So I'm like, what's a good, you know, native plants to New York, blah, blah, blah. So I want to make stuff for the merch table, you know, like drink mixers.
Oh, totally. That's so cool.
Native trees, like a pine one or something. I don't know if you've
been hiding this.
Talk to me.
Yeah. Well, it was, we had a chat.
So like bitters, like some bitters,
bitters you're going to make? Yeah. That's what it's called. Yes. I have all of this in a PDF.
So we'll bring the bourbon.
Yeah, we'll bring the bourbon. You do the rest.
We'll team up with the local bourbon maker. Yeah.
Oh boy, yeah, so we can good. Really take this places. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
We're all getting
you heard it here first, folks.
Well, hey, everybody, pay attention.
Well, we had an interview with WXT for something coming up, like it was a while back, before the show in Schenectady. And Mike asked, what's the Tops of Trees signature drink? And I was just floored. I was like, I don't know.
I was
so disappointed in myself. Like, you know, I was just like, I was having an existential crisis. I was like, how do I not automatically know what our drink would be? I'm like, I know it's bourbon, but I don't know anything else, you know?
Oh, my God.
But then we were thinking maple, because of New York.
Yeah.
And then
Somebody was like, I don't like maple. I was like, maybe rosemary.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't drink anymore, but that would be a drink. That's like at the Cock and Bull, they have the Maple Hatton.
Oh, it's so good. I was seeing you actually.
Oh, really? Oh, that's honestly perfect. That's my dream. I'm like, sit and have a Maple Hatton. Like, so, oh my God. Yeah. That's the perfect vibe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone else have a Maple Hatton for me. Two is perfect.
Yeah, no more than actually, two, but two is like.
Yeah. Actually, during COVID, like when you could get drinks to go.
Oh my gosh.
And Rick is just like pouring me doubles and I'm taking double Manhattan, Maple Hattons home for like my 7-minute drive. I'm like, it's like, this is dangerous. No. That's so funny.
Yeah.
So how did you auditioned for the band, but I know like you guys were two founding members. So how did you guys meet?
Oh yeah. You want to take that?
No, I kind of auditioned for the band too, I would say.
Yeah. So for me, it was like, you know, everybody was caught up in the COVID and.
Caught up in the COVID.
I was home, you know, doing the Zoom classes with the kids, and I was laid off for like 3 months. I was kind of coming out of another band and was like, things were kind of, you know, just getting a little humdrum, and I wanted to do some music. And I was, you know, I kind of reached out and thought of starting a project. I found Aaron, our guitarist. He came over with Damien. I found him through like Facebook channels and all those things. And I think it was the first thing you did was send me some acoustic guitar playing and singing.
Mm.
And I was like, I got to get him out of his bubble, man. So he came over, started playing. We went through some bass players. Henry, he was our number one hype man.
Yeah, yeah.
And still is to this day. Great guy. Hell of a musician.
Who is that?
Henry Ranker. He went to Skidmore, and we found him. Played bass with us, a little bit of keys. But then he moved to New York. And so we got a gig at like Putnam Place, and I don't even know if we had a bass player. You reached out to Ken.
Yeah.
And then...
I love Ken.
Yeah.
Ken's really cool.
Ken is like one of my favorite people.
And then, yeah, so, like, then stuff started rolling, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you invited some, I think you had another friend who was a bass player, so before Ken, and he was just coming to, he sat in on bass.
Right, right.
And he was just like, we were just learning covers, basically.
Yeah.
And he was like, I could probably get you guys a show, but I really, you know,
we're
more into your originals. So we were like, okay, so we'll do that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I love that because that was like my first gig I ever got was like Rick Bolton being like, hey, do you have 3 hours of music? I could put you at Gaffney's on like a Saturday afternoon. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, hell yeah, let's go. And then I was like, like, I got to get 3 hours of music. Because I love that you're like, yeah, we booked a gig at Putnam and we didn't even have a bass player yet. I'm like, holy fucking shit.
We didn't even have a name.
Yeah, oh my god!
That's right.
That spirit lives on today, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Just say we can do it.
We can. Hey, I have this idea. Let's just do it.
There goes the train.
Oh, that's so
everyone amazing. Waved to the conductor.
Yeah.
Everyone's gonna hear this on the pod too. Sometimes it's a little bit louder than other times, but. Yeah, I'm fighting the things today. I just got the fucking lawnmower. I got the fucking train. I got the whole fucking thing.
You've got a theme in your podcast now. Yes.
I know the background noise. Honestly,
like Easter egg in your podcast at the description. Find out which outdoor thing is interrupting us today.
Or it's the drinking game. It's like, how many times does the train go by? Take a shot. Yeah. But
have you gotten through a podcast without the train?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know why this is. Oh no, I don't.
Oh, you don't.
I've honestly been like, maybe I should look it up, but I don't know. The only one that I know is that there's one that comes around 11 o'clock every night. It's either like 10:50, 11, 11:10. It's always like, I'm like, there's the 11 o'clock train, and I gotta go to bed. That's like always the vibe. Yeah, but we've been singing. I've been working on the railroad. We've been singing that. One of my jobs is we do like memory care, so we go into like memory care facilities and like sing with the residents there. And I've seen it. We have like a Google Drive of all the songs that are like, these work well, because it's all like 20s, 30s, 40s songs, like from childhood development time for these people. It's like for memory care, that's like they pull it out of their freaking ass. It's crazy. And we just started doing, I've been working on the railroad, because when we first started, I saw it in the drive and I was like, I'm not doing this fucking song, like this child song. Like, this is like, there's also like, If You're Happy and You Know It is in there too, and I'm like, fuck that. And I was like, no, I'm gonna sing like musicals. And then we were like, let's just give this a shot one day, and I was like, oh, this song is so fun. It's actually a great song. Yeah. And you get into the whole like fee fi fiddly io. It's so fun.
So
yeah. And also it's like a little bit like cheeky, because it's like a little bit like I'm all the long day, I remember I just passed the time away, can't you rise up really horn? Okay, just got down, Dinah blow your horn, and then Dinah won't you blow, Dinah won't you blow, and then it's someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. And I'm always like, someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. And I was like singing it with this one lady the other day, and I was like, someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. And she's like, she can't really like, she doesn't talk much anymore, and when she does talk, she's just like kind of rambling and saying things, and you're like, okay, like what are you talking about? And then I was like, someone's in the kitchen with Dinah, and she goes, oh, and she like looked at me. And I was like, you get it too.
Go girl, so go Dinah. Funny.
Yes, correct. Like, okay, Dinah, I see you. Yeah.
I forgot how good that song is.
No, it's a good song.
Reminded me of all the parts.
Yeah, I know.
That's so fun.
It just keeps going and going and going, and then you're fee five fiddle.
Old banjo.
So on the strumming on the old banjo. Yeah, it's fun.
I'm surprised
if
we cover it now.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I was like, next time I see you guys, it's gonna be like
train song. So like, I went through a phase of train songs.
That is in my 20s.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Too, it's a very like it's a very like New Orleansy vibe, the train thing. It's like a 20s 30s very train Americana. Hopper thing. Yes.
Yeah.
That's like a whole thing,
like the steamboat songs.
Yeah. And then there's steamboat songs. River. Yeah, yeah. Steamboat river trains.
Yeah, yeah. Kerouac, yeah. You know, Donald Bums on the road, you know, hopping on.
Yeah, the train songs.
Yeah.
I love that. And then like also specifically Freight Train.
Yeah.
Is like a train vibe song.
Yeah, get the freight whistle in the album.
Right. Yeah. That's a whole thing.
Let's do it. Let's do a Tops of Trees train.
Tops of Trees train.
Just
that's
one.
It.
Yeah. Or or what you do is you write the song that's about a train, but then you throw in "I've been working on the railroad" somewhere in there.
Yeah. We're gonna have to credit.
I do
want to
do a children's album though.
I do have a desire
to do a children's
Tops
album.
Tops of Trees on tour for children's album.
Well, I don't know.
Or you want to do it?
I don't know. Tour it.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I want to do children's songs, and then you go straight to tour.
It's gonna be good.
Oh my god. And honestly, that's where you can make the money.
That's what I'm saying.
That's where you make the money. That's put that shit on YouTube.
There's money in this?
Yeah,
use it. In children's?
Really?
Oh my god. Yes. I can't tell if you're being serious or not. I'm being serious.
Yeah, no.
You could go to any library and just be like, hey, we're going to do this thing. We're going to do children's music. You could tour libraries on children's music.
Library tour for an English teacher.
So yeah. Also that. I also have a dream of doing like a library tour just of my music. I would like love that. Just like play a bunch of libraries. Oh my god.
That could be, anyway.
I gotta stop giving away my ideas.
Yeah,
we'll tour together.
There we go.
We'll
That's perfect. That's great. I'll take the guys to the library.
Yeah, we'll dance them out, and then you can put them to sleep.
There we go.
Yeah.
See, perfect.
Love it.
It's
love
perfect.
It.
That's great.
That's not what I meant.
No, no.
What the hell?
No, that isn't. No, I'm handing them tissues. They're definitely going to sleep. I'm selling tissues now. Yeah, they're going to need tissues to wipe away the sweat for you, and then tears for me. Either way, they're excreting something. Yeah.
Pillows,
yeah. Oh my god. Oh. Hand out the little pillows at the library.
We should make bookmarks.
Yes. I have bookmarks.
Yeah, bookmarks.
That's
nice.
That's my next thing. I have the idea. I want it to be like pressed flowers. Ooh. I have like all these pressed. Yeah. Okay.
You do your own t-shirts bookmarks too, though. You press your own t-shirts, right?
I stamp them. Yeah.
Stamp it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is really. It's really. No. It's honestly. It's so easy.
Yeah.
I made the rubber stamp.
Yeah.
It's also like the most soothing thing I've ever done in my life.
Really?
Was like making this stamp.
Do
yes.
You usually like roll. Is this
you use like
I've
a little scraper, and it's like you can. The scraper is like yeah, and okay. Then you like cut, and you like carve. You like carve into it.
Yeah.
And it's like I like was doing it. I was just like, oh my god, I could do this all day. And then my friend was like, oh, how did you do that? And I was like, do you want one? Can I make you one? I'll make you one. Like I just was like, let me just do it. I'll like listen to my audiobook and like carve my little stamp.
That's
like
great.
It's really soothing. It's really nice. So highly recommend it.
All right.
Highly recommend.
Are you reading anything good right now? Or listening to anything good?
Oh my god. Yes. Yeah, thank you for asking me.
Here we go.
We're podcasting you now.
Because I know, correct. Because I'm listening to The House Made by Freda McFadden right now.
Okay.
It's a psychological thriller actually.
We love
which
this.
I'm not usually into because I can't do like I don't need anything that raises my cortisol. Cortisol's high enough. Don't need to go any higher. Don't need it. But this book is so fucking good. And I like played I had a gig yesterday and JP also had a gig, so he left earlier in the day, and I literally all day was like me getting ready for this gig. It took me like, now that I'm like going through all this like autoimmune shit, it takes me a very long time to get ready. Yeah. So I'm like, I have to do my hair, and then I have to like rest for an hour, and then I can do my makeup, and then I can rest for an hour, and then I can do whatever, and then I have to like rest. So catch me just like literally all day. This book is like, I don't know, like 10, 12 hours long or something. I have like an hour left because I was just like all day yesterday. And then driving to the gig, and I played like, we played this gig last night. It was like the Ookie Spooky show.
Cool.
And we all had to write a song about like murder or crime or something that had happened like pre 1930 in Troy. They like sent us a bunch of it was really fun. They sent us a bunch of like little just like snippets of newspaper clippings to choose from. And so I was like driving there like listening to this book, and I'm like, I feel very ooky spooky right now. So it was great. It like very set the tone for like last night. But are you guys reading anything? Do you read? I know you read. You're an English teacher.
I just finished reading Big Jim and the White Boy. So it's a retelling of Huckleberry Finn. I know James came out last year, and that won the Pulitzer. James Percival, I think, is his name. It was really good. But Big Jim and the White Boy is a graphic novel, kind of retelling, an artist from Troy. I should have got Marcus Kwame Alexander. Maybe I got to look up his name real quick.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic.
Oh.
I'm actually buying it for people. I'm like, you got
to
read
this. You have to read it.
I actually liked it better than I liked the James version. So.
Really?
Yeah, so if you want an awesome retelling of Huckleberry Finn.
I don't even think I've ever read Huckleberry Finn.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So maybe I should read that first,
You know, you hear the use of the overuse of the N-word like 700 times.
That's also
but
true.
But it gives a context though, or you know,
yeah.
He talked about that in the beginning of his book about why he chose to leave that word in his version of the graphic novel.
Oh,
but he
really?
Does it in a very skillful way, as opposed to the original, which is. Yeah, it's still being used for effect, right?
Yeah.
But it's when you actually, I just re-listened to it over the summer.
Oh.
I mean, after a while, like, wow, this is, it's a lot.
It's just every time it's like,
every couple of seconds, like, yeah. So the gratuitousness of it is a little much. But
yeah.
It's a little jarring, but it still, you know, captures the time period, and you know, he did what he could, Mark Twain, for you know that time period as a white guy writing about these issues.
Yikes.
So
yeah.
Can't sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
What about, do you read, Troy?
I've been actually checking out this podcast, Wild Homestead, and I struck my interest because it's this guy, Canadian guy, who went to Asia, and he was pretty famous over there. He knows how to speak Chinese and was on some show. And he was like, ah, screw this. I'm going back to Canada. I'm leaving the city. I'm kind of just getting into the woods, bought like 40 acres. And he's building a log cabin by himself and homesteading and
making a podcast while he does it.
Yeah. And so that's been on my, like, I listen to it while I'm at work or whatever.
Send it to me.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's pretty interesting because it goes from like day one, I'm living in a tent in December in Canada.
But I have this recording equipment.
This dream. Yeah. And
Yeah, a dream and a microphone.
At this point, he's got like his outdoor sauna, a guest cabin, but he's going to be building this huge, like, elaborate house, but he's doing it all by himself. You know, like, he's got his own sawmill and all that stuff. So that whole idea just really intrigues me. Like, get out of here. And
Yeah. We're going off the grid. Yeah. Do you do a lot of those like projects at home?
Not since COVID. Honestly, when I've had the time. But yeah, you know, I remodeled my whole interior of my house and did a lot of projects out back, but I don't have time for that now.
Yeah. So I have like one of my like biggest red flags in life is that like I look at anybody doing anything like that homesteader guy and I'm like, I could do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do you have that vibe? I mean, correct, but also like when? Yes.
Probably pretty soon. So
right, I know. Right, sooner than we might think.
That's true. Do you read or listen to books? Are you audiobook, physical book?
I am constantly listening to this Ologies podcast. Ologies by Ali Ward.
No.
It's like the leading science podcast in the US. And every episode is a different it's a different ology. So they consult with like the top scientist or doctor in the field, and it's everything from like opossums to witchcraft to like I just listened to one about metabolism, and they're all equally fascinating. So I learned about stuff I never really even thought was a thing I should think about.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But I just listened to, and I have to listen to again, The Secret Life of Trees by Peter Wohlleben.
Okay. I try to read that book.
I fell asleep. That's why I said I have to listen to it again. Because I'm like, okay, David Attenborough. Like, can you relax with the soothing tones over here? Like, I want this information. It's cool stuff. We need a little bit of voice inflection, you know,
Because it's the one I have to see the cover because it's the Secret Life of Trees. It's like all about the tree and how they affect the family, right?
Yeah. Well, this guy is like talking about his life and how he's lived in the forest and spent so much time in the forest and all these things he's just noticed by being out there and then backed up by science. And it's really interesting. Yeah. There's all these.
Is that the hidden life of trees?
The secret life. I think it's the secret.
I think that's bees.
There's a secret life of a lot of things.
Yeah. There's a secret life of bees. The secret life of trees.
Ooh, the hidden life of trees. No, you're correct.
Okay, because I think that the secret life of trees is different. Or I recently tried to read a book about this, like book about it was trees. I thought it was that one, but it's a different one.
Well, I don't know what the difference but between that sounds hidden amazing. And secret is, but I will read all the books about trees.
Give me all the tree books. I got it. Hidden and secret. So explain this to me again, because then it's not the book that I thought it was.
Well, it sounds like they're kind of similar. Like you said.
No. This book is
secrets
like...
and mysteries are different.
Oh yeah. Whatever. The book that I was reading was like, it was so dark. It was like
in the 1930s.
Like
in trees.
Termites have struck again.
No, it was like this tree centered around this like family's life, and then there was so much suicide in it. And I was like, I just can't. Like, I got like a quarter of the way in, and I was like, I just can't do this. Like, it was so sad. Oh, and then it was like this tree, like seeing it all happened, and I was like,
they live for a long
I can't
time.
Handle yeah, this yeah because it was like it was out it was like how this tree was like what role it played in this family as all the generations like and then it was like hopping to different families but like they were all kind of connected still like through a tree. And then I was like, I can't. It was too sad.
I might skip that tree.
Yeah.
And then they chopped it down and built a ballroom, I think. Like, right? That's what they kind of...
That's what happens. 100%. Yeah. But this guy's just like living in the trees and being like, what are the trees telling me?
I don't know if he like lives in the trees. I think he's like I don't know if he's a scientist. Like I said, I gotta listen to it again.
Yeah. Okay.
I missed the backstory because there's a prologue too. And that's also very soothing. You know, I'm doing stuff. I'm crafting or I'm cleaning.
Yes.
So I'm picking up some relevant information, but I tend to do that with audiobooks.
Yeah.
Especially if it's information I really want, I'll listen to them two or three times.
Oh, yeah. Just,
you know.
Do you guys listen at normal speed or like 1.5
speed? Oh my gosh,
normal.
I just found out that normal. You can listen normal. Fast. But normal.
I'm a normal.
But this one I might speed up.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So that's great.
Are you guys 2x speed people?
No. I'm normal. normal.
I can't. I feel like that's a young man's game. Is the two times though I do it when I'm on social media. I do that.
Yes.
Because if that's if I have subtitles, then right. I can follow along.
I do have some Chipmunks albums still. So I listen, you know, I'll put those in the. I'll play them in school sometimes.
And then play them two times speed from that.
I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Like Blondie, and then like Pat Benatar.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Chipmunk Punk.
Yes.
If anybody out there remembers Chipmunk Punk,
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Big album in the mid-80s. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh what my. They sang like Pat Benatar and all that?
Well, they did one of her songs.
No yeah. way. Yeah. Oh my hilarious. God. That's so funny. That's crazy.
Look it up.
Look it up.
That was Marcus Kwame Anderson, by the way.
Nice. That's great. Back, yeah. That's and he's out of Troy.
He's out of Troy. He's the artist. So cool. He's the graphic artist out of Troy.
That is so cool. I want to like see what it looks like.
It's amazing.
So where does Tops of Trees come from? How did y'all settle on a band name?
Speaking of podcasts, so it's from the Radiolab podcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so you can remember that. So there was a one episode about a female scientist who had this theory, hypothesis that if you went to the tallest trees, like in the Pacific Northwest, we would discover a biosphere that we had never discovered before. She couldn't get the funding for like 20 years, like, you know, shut her down. But eventually she got the money. She went up there and she discovered there's actual whole biosphere. Not only that, there's so much water up there that there was actually aquatic life
in
the tops of the trees. Yeah, yeah. So that's where the octopus for, you know, there was an octopus in the trees. But we took a little poetic license with it.
Yes. I've kind of always wondered, because I'm like tops of trees, but like octopus. Yeah. I've kind of always wondered what that vibe is. Who does your design?
Right.
Yeah.
What?
It's been a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, who did that design?
It was a couple we discovered through Wolf Hollow Brewing. So they do all the artwork for Wolf
Hollow. And Wolf Hollow has great artwork.
They do have great artwork. Yeah. I was like, Pete, you know, like, who did your work? He gave me their names.
Yeah.
And give me a minute. I'll look it up.
Okay, great. Look it up. Yeah.
It's been a hot minute since we did. That's been a few years now.
Yeah.
So they did all the logo stuff.
I love that. Yeah. Yes.
Many people love it except for Aaron. But we're still using it.
And Alex thinks that we should have some trees in our logo. And I'm like, man, I love the story so much about how the name came about that I'm like, we are keeping the octopus. He has a name.
Or he's got he has a name?
Yeah.
Noodles.
That's perfect. Yeah. Noodles the octopus.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But you could also like have the octopus be like a recurring character. Like he could be tiny on something or like he could just always kind of be there.
This baby octopus.
Yeah. Wait till our Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The aquatic life in the tops of the trees.
We'll need to if we're going to do children's.
Yeah.
Also that.
Yeah.
Also, if you remember like in middle school, one of the like main lessons librarians used to teach about fake news is there's a whole website about octopus and trees. And it's presented as factual and all this. And then as you dig deeper into it, the lesson is how can you figure out this is not real? That there are no octopus trees.
So, so silly play on is what that. You're saying.
What's
we're
that?
Contributing to fake news
over here. Oh,
I guess. That's
funny. But yeah, so there's also that. You know, my wife's a librarian, so I love that connection.
Oh, is she?
And yes, and now that we're going to be doing a library tour together. So,
correct.
This is all coming together.
She's got to give us the hookups. Yes, right. She's got to contact her other librarian friends.
Right.
It's like the 1940s, and they have like a little call center, and they're all down there like, doop, 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 doop. Okay, we're coming your way. I love that. Oh my God. Well, so I know you're an English teacher daytime. That's day job. What do you do for your day job?
I work as a manager of a dental laboratory.
Actually. Oh.
So it's kind of odd. People think like dentists make teeth, but.
No.
Yeah. So.
I worked for an orthodontist. So okay. I do know like we'd have to send things like to the lab.
Sure.
Yeah.
So in that I do like CAD CAM design and specifically like implants and things like that. So it's quite interesting.
Coming out on the pod. Yeah, that's so cool.
It's science meets art.
Totally.
Which, you know, we're all cool with.
Yes.
What we do.
That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know that was your job.
Yeah, that's so cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, love that. What do you do, Ashley?
A lot of things, but my main thing during the warm months is I do native gardenscaping.
Oh my God, cool.
I work with people who want to turn their yard into a native pollinator habitat. So a lot of that, unfortunately for the fall, means I'm pulling invasive species out. And there's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Get me started on the bittersweet.
But, oh my God.
Yeah. So it's
no, please. Never... I want to get you started.
Oh, I can see it out your window. I'm so sorry to tell you.
No, I know.
And it's no, don't feel bad. It's literally everywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a never ending job. And because I know that I'm eventually going to be like, screw this. This is hard work. My body does not like it. You know, it was hard this summer when the 90 degree heat. So
yeah, it's just getting hotter. Off.
And then with the wildfire smoke, I have asthma, so it's tough to be out there all the time. But so I started to pivot a little bit because I do like the plant world. Mm-hmm. I started getting into naturopathy. So I'm studying, how your routines and what you eat and all of that impacts your health in a holistic way.
Totally.
But also supplementing that heavily with herbals, and specifically herbals that are found in our native immediate area. So you can go outside in your yard if you have yard space and be like, oh, that's plantain. I know what I can use that for.
Yes.
Kind of stuff.
Yes. I have a friend who I like need to connect you with. Oh, Carolyn Shapiro would love to talk to you.
Oh, wonderful. I think about any of this. And I are friends on Facebook.
Oh, are you?
From some of our connections in Lake George. So.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, are you from Lake George?
No, my boyfriend's from Lake George.
Oh, so cool.
I live down near Albany.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you guys are in a long distance relationship.
Yes. And it's not terrible. Space can be good sometimes, but
I know. No, because I was like, when JP and I first started dating, I was living in Galway and he was living in Queensbury. And I remember my therapist was like, you're in a long distance relationship. That's what that is.
Yeah,
you're like an hour away.
It's only an hour. Honestly, when you have a podcast, an hour goes by like that.
I was actually just going to say like, we're chugging along. Mm. It moves really fast.
If you're in a long distance relationship, this is a great podcast to listen to.
While you're waiting to go see each other. Yeah. Yes. So and I also feel like it's so interesting because I'm like, I feel like I could interview each of you separately, but I also want to be like, you're here as the band. Yeah. So I'm also like trying to focus on band things, but I'm also like, what do you do with your lives? Yeah. Who are you? Sure. Do you guys have any?
Can I just go back? It was Conrad Media. So Josie and Connor from Conrad Media.
Did the art.
They do videos. They do. Oh, really? Logos, they do all kinds of stuff.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Love that. Thank you. Yeah. We got a lot of nice like shout outs on here too, which I love.
I love a shout out.
Correct. Right. Yes. As they said in High School Musical.
Oh my God. I always wanted to learn that dance.
Don't get me. We're all in this together. Clap.
Okay. Well, you're teaching me.
No, I learned from the dance alongs because they had dance alongs when I was in high school. You could dance along with it and learn the moves. Yeah. Wow. You know, I fucking loved that shit. I watched that shit before I went over to Ashley Jones's house. I was like, I can't leave yet. I gotta finish the dance along, and then I'll be good to go. It was funny, but cool. So, what do you guys have coming up? Because I know you've been recording with Mike at the Bunker. Is that all like done?
Yeah. So if this is coming out in January, it should be already out. But the album's
out.
Should have dropped December 11th.
Oh shit! Okay.
And the physical, we made vinyl, so that's really exciting. It's been a bucket list thing. We're excited to have physical vinyl.
Yeah.
So hopefully you already got yours.
Yep.
And you're listening to it after you listen to this, right. On your long distance relationship drive.
I don't know how easy it is to spin vinyl in the car, but I'm sure it can be done.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Remember Pimp My Ride? They must have at least got one
exactly.
Vinyl.
We're working on that. We have some shows. I mean, I'm not sure what the show, like, I think probably once we get through New Year's, we have some shows up from now through New Year's, I think. We'll probably be focusing on writing new songs, when you're working on an album for so long and... like you love the songs, but then you start to like not love the songs.
100%.
And you're playing them at every show, kind of.
Yep.
So now, like, I'm really looking forward to releasing the album, of course.
Free the music.
Also, like working on new music starting in January.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I always do it all backwards because I'm like, I release the album and then I'm like, by the time you release the album, you're tired of playing the songs, but then you're like supposed to be playing those songs. And then I'm like right now, I'm like this last year, I've been playing all of my new songs and then I'm going to be recording those in January. And then I'm just and then by the time I get to January, I'm going to be like, I'm over this. And now like next year, I'm going to play all the new songs that I write during the winter. Mm-hmm. I write a lot like during fall, winter.
Yeah.
Sure, and I've realized that I don't write a lot during the summer because it's like, I feel like we're all,
everybody's
busy. We're all doing things. And so like you're playing, I feel like what happens is like, I've noticed the like theme for me a little bit is like write the new songs. Like, and then like start playing them in like April. And then by the time I get to October, I'm like, I never want to fucking play them again. But then it's like, I've just recently come back where I'm like now getting back into playing the songs that were on like my last album. And I'm like, oh yeah, these are starting to like feel good again, because they're kind of taking on a new, they've been around for so long now that they're now taking on like a new kind of different vibe. And in this last year, I didn't really play an instrument during the last couple band shows I had, which was kind of weird for me, but like really fun and cool, and was much less stressful for me being like letting other people kind of carry the weight. Yeah. And so actually my last show with the Cock and Bull, Rick, the owner there, was like, he was like, you know, I've always thought of you as like a piano centered band. Like it's kind of like the piano is happening and then everything is happening around that piano. And he was like, and this time it was like, everything was centered around the guitar. Like it was like, it was such a different vibe. It was like so cool. And so then all these old songs we've kind of like reinvented with like an acoustic-y guitar vibe kind of thing happening. And like, then, yeah, it's been really cool. So then also like, that's cool to see now that I've been playing these songs long enough for them to then take on like a new life.
Freshies,
yeah. Yeah, which is cool. But it takes, there's like a, here's the song, I love it. And then it dips. And then I think it comes back up. Sure, so sure. Yeah, that's the goal.
It's interesting to hear your cycle, because I know we're always kind of talking about like what we should be doing as far as releasing songs and like the format of that.
You know, fuck like a should rules. Be. I can't right. anymore. Like, yeah. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of my whole perspective. Like, because you know, we're trying to stick to like whatever format was there for bands before, but it's not the same world, you know. Social media changes.
I think
a
it
lot.
Was like the first half of the album was recorded in like this time last year, 2024, and then we came out with the second set of songs, and we've played them limitedly.
Okay,
but you know, so now that they're recorded, I think they're still fresh.
Yeah,
but the first half are still like, oh, we're. You know, so once this is done, which this is done now, as you'll know, but it was very like, well, we played all these, but there's half of it's new, so who's to say what's right?
Right, and I feel like it's just because now, like the thing now, right, is like you're the waterfall release, where it's like single album, you know, and like that kind of thing. And then I'm like, I go to CD Baby, and I'm like, I have to pay $10 for all of these singles, and then pay $15 again to like then release this. I'm like, God damn it! Like they like get you in every way that they can get you, also, which is like it's interesting. It's everything starts to kind of like build and add up, and again, then it's that thing where you're like, okay, now I have to release all these singles. And then for me, my brain goes, now I have to come up with like an entire promotional thing for each of these singles. And then it's like there's no rest, because it's just like constant new things coming out. But again, probably kind of nice for you guys to be like, again, spread that work out a little bit. And like also kind of nice creatively in terms of marketing to have different brains. How do you guys feel about that? Where it's like, cause I remember working for jobs where I was doing social media, where it was like, well, we need to have a voice. We need to have a singular voice.
Yeah.
So do you guys feel like,
brand.
Right. So do you ever have like conversations like that, where it's like, how are we looking on social media and like whatever?
I don't feel like we have gotten to the point where we're actually critiquing. We're just happy anybody's doing it.
Yeah.
You do something. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Yes.
Whatever you're doing is wonderful, right?
Yes.
But I think it is a little bit challenging when you have six voices giving opinions about something. It's like, you know, any democracy takes time, right? Authoritarian regimes kind of, you know, they make quick decisions, good for them, right?
Yeah.
But democracy takes time, so it does. So there's a little bit of that, like, you know, something that I could decide in like 5 minutes, it takes us probably 3 weeks to figure out and making sure everybody's heard, everybody's voices. In the end, I think the product is better. But it does take time. So
takes longer.
Takes a little bit longer.
And, yeah.
And it's interesting too, because like we're talking about social media usage, and each of us in the band, because social media is so tailored to the user now, we're all experiencing it a little bit differently. It's pretty much the same, but like a little bit differently. So I think that's why we have a lot of different opinions about how we should be promoting ourselves.
Yeah.
But,
and you'll see a hodgepodge too, you know, it's like, Aaron will have his style, I'll have mine, you'll have yours.
Any of the really nerdy, you know, like stupid punny captions are mine. Those are mine.
Oh my God.
I'll take them.
Yeah.
So it's like the brand is mishmash, hodgepodge, but it all comes together.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. The main thing is making sure, like, is this still fun?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's make sure this is still fun. You know, like, no one's making a dime with this. Let's have fun.
Yes.
So I actually put together a calendar for us to post for our album release so that we wouldn't have to think so much about it. Like, if we're just like, oh, I can't do it today, guys, you have the calendar. Let's go see what needs to be, you know?
Yes.
And it's open to interpretation too. Like, do whatever you really want. But the idea with social media really, I guess, is to be consistent.
Yeah.
So.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I missed it. I've been doing this long enough. I remember we used to print like zines.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I remember those zines.
It would cost money to mail that. Oh, yeah. Money back to that.
Yeah. Told the snail mail.
Yeah.
One. I think people would love that. Who doesn't love getting like a card in the mail?
Seriously.
I love getting a little card in the mail.
That's not a bill.
Yeah. Right.
Correct.
Because
that's
always exciting. Yeah. Now. You put your name on it. You're like, oh, look at this. Someone sent me something. Oh, it's a bill, but for a brief moment, it was to me.
It was to me, for me. Yeah, whenever I open our mailbox, which I think this is like highly illegal. So there are like two houses on this property, and there's like us, and then there's like a bunch of families in the first house. All of our mail goes to one mailbox.
Okay, which
I think is, not okay. But like literally to the point where I was like, oh, our neighbors are getting married. Cause I'm like, I can see all people like sending like RSVPs back and all stuff. So like I ran into her one day and I was like, congrats on your wedding. And I was like, sorry that I knew about that from your fucking mail. But I was like, God. Yeah. Oh, so I'm like, it's an interesting thing. But I love that. And I think that this, but then it's also like, then I'm like, oh God, I got to collect everybody's addresses.
That's true.
Oof.
It don't ever happen. I'm just saying it would be nice. The romantic in me is like, let's go back to that. But you have to do it?
I know.
See, I don't even allow. Oh. That's what we need.
I know. My ideal is booking agent. I'm like, someone book all my shows. I will show up. I'll do the social media. I'll promote it. I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
But like, just get me a show. The booking is what sends me into like the death spiral that lands me on the ground. Just like, I fucking hate this. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to sit and send a million emails and not hear back from anybody. And that to me feels like my musical theater days of just like walking in and like doing an audition and like wearing my like heels and my like jewel tone dress and being like, okay, I'm here. Like love me. Yeah. It gives me that. I hate that.
That's a rough feeling.
Yeah, and we were talking about that last night. Actually, we were talking about NERFA. And I was just like, have you guys ever heard of that?
I don't think so.
Okay. So it's Northeast Regional Folk Alliance. So there's also like Folk Alliance International. And then there's also all these things that like branch off of that. Okay. So I did that a couple of years ago and I was just like, it's basically just like you all go and you're in this hotel and all day they have like, little things that you can sit in on, just like little like people speaking and like that kind of stuff. And then at night it's like from like 11 until 3 a.m., 11 p.m. until like 3 a.m. People have in their hotel rooms, they have like little things set up where you can go and do like a showcase. So then you can go and you can sit and you can play. And then like there are people there who book shows or like have houses and do shows or whatever. And then it's also like fellow musicians or it's just like marketing people or whatever. So you can like make those connections. But I am so bad at being like, hi, my name is Angelina Valenti and you're going to love me.
Yes.
Like it literally makes me want to like crawl out of my skin.
Check me out.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about that? Like that part of it.
I feel like it takes the you out of it when there's so many of us.
Yes.
I'm like, listen to my band. Cause I'm not like, just listen to me. I'm like, isn't my keyboard player cool? Like, let's do a horn section. You know, are these lyrics fun? And it's cool.
Yeah, but I feel more confident. I feel really confident about this project. I mean, not that you don't feel confident in your project.
Not, so.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. But we don't do that. Like, we're not showing up and like,
no.
If you like us, book us. That would be like, that would be weird.
Yes.
The email
totally
portion
weird.
Though, and like sending a bunch out and just like you don't hear back.
That's cricket.
And it happens to everybody.
Oh yeah, totally.
How many emails do we send about festival gigs and nobody got back to us?
Who do you know?
Yeah.
A friend of a friend gets you that. You know, sometimes phone calls have worked well, but you know,
it makes me think of do you know who Mitch Hedberg is?
Yeah.
Okay, he's a comedian, and he has this bit where he's like, it's all about who you know, and I know Crackle, and he's like the guy on the cover of the Rice Krispies box. He's like, you know what I want on that box? I want Snap, Crackle, Mitch, and Pop. That's what that made me think of. It's all about who you know, and I know Crackle.
Yeah, it's so true though. That's what it is, you know.
Yeah.
So you can send all these blanket emails. and maybe 5% will get back to you.
Right.
Like somehow they heard your name somewhere else.
Somewhere, yes.
And they click it on. Like, oh, yeah. They don't suck. So let me talk to them at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have sent probably 3 booking emails in my life.
Oh, okay.
You've sent 3?
Yes. Wow. I like don't. Isn't that terrible?
So did you phone call? Like, what do you do? No. How do you get? They're coming. You're yes. complaining about 3 emails you sent. What the hell?
That sounds like it sounds like you've been doing a lot of emailing.
This is like a quiet brag. I've only sent 3 emails, and I have a career. What are you guys doing?
You sent 20 a week. But what do you mean?
It's more that I like sit down and start to like do the research of places to play, and then I'm like, I'm overwhelmed. Oh, my God. I literally it's probably 3. And then like none of them have worked out. And I'm just fuck
you
it.
Only sent
and then
3. I guess.
Yeah. Everybody's knocking down your door anyway.
What are you talking about? You gotta build in your resilience here. What's going on?
Come on.
Oh my God. Because then it's like anytime I try, I'm like, it doesn't work.
You're like, proof. There's my proof. Yeah.
There's my proof. My 3 times, my 3 emails. I'm like, they hate me.
Oh, you go, 3 times a charm. Nope, never mind.
No.
3 strikes.
No, I just get like, I yep. know.
I can't be demoralized anymore.
It does sound so dramatic like this.
I do find for this particular project, you know, I've been trying to work on my habitual patterns. Yeah. So my habitual pattern is to not make phone calls because I hate, I don't even like ordering, like when I was a kid, I hated ordering deli meat at the counter. My mom would say, go order some bologna. I'd be like, no.
Don't make me talk to
a human. So yes. I hate calling for like reservations. It's really weird.
Yes.
So
no, it's not weird. That's a normal thing.
I force myself to do it because I'm just trying to break those patterns. Ah. And you know, a lot of these things working with the band, I noticed what I normally would do in the past. Like, can I do the opposite? So maybe a little George Costanza.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's a great song. Yeah,
do the opposite for him. Yeah. So like, you know, this music thing is really, you know, spiritual practice. So what can we do to like break our habitual patterns and make ourselves more open and vulnerable to our audiences?
Yes.
Which you're really good at.
Thank you.
For me, not so much. So
really?
So kind of working on those things, and yeah.
But I feel like your songs are vulnerable. So like, that inherently makes your performance vulnerable.
Yeah, I've gotten more comfortable on stage. Like, you know, in the past, you know, I probably would need to drink more. I can't just go on there and be me. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's interesting to like think about how alcohol. I've never been like a drinker on stage. Never. Like, I'm always just like, nope. Like, even when I played, I was just like singing backups with like a bluegrass band. Like, when I first came around on the scene or whatever, it was like, I'd have like maybe a couple in like my 20s. But the older I got, the more I was also like, this is also terrible for your voice. Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard knowing what's bad for your voice and being like, well, everybody's having a drink, so I'll just do it anyway. Like, yeah. I catch myself doing that. Not as much. I think our last show was my first like pretty sober show. It wasn't the last one I drank. That one was at a brewery. Shout out to Dancing Grain. But the one before that, I was very sober, and I feel like it was one of my better performances with the band. So it's something to think about, you know, like we do perform at breweries sometimes and there's lots of free drinks, and I have screamed into the camera before recording promotion, also into the microphone, because I was like, it's in my hand, I'm going to use it. So the whole audience and everybody there heard my video we were taking, and, you know, so there's reasons to not get that drunk, but...
are there?
There are reasons to not get that drunk.
It was a great promotional video, my favorite one that I did, but...
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, so I don't know, I think I might move forward a little bit more soberly. It gave me confidence to be like, okay, I don't have to loosen up.
Yeah,
you know, to be on stage, like I'm comfortable up here now, and I know myself, so I can just do it.
That's great. Yeah, I always felt like some of my worst shows were just like when I'd be like getting a little tipping over into I was like, this is not good. It's not good. Right. I mean, we had some of those very late nights at. Did you guys ever play at One Caroline? Oh, it was like, it was like the jazz bar. It was like when you come down Caroline Street, if you're coming from Broadway, on the left, and you like walked into it and they had like a piano there. And so then we had a residency there for a while. We were playing there like every Tuesday night for a long time as Rambler's Home. And it was, and also as I get older, I can stand alcohol and people who are under the influence of it less and less.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's also tough about like playing in some of the places, like, because I'm kind of in this weird spot now where it's like, I don't have enough of a following to be playing like strictly listening room gigs. Mm-hmm. But then like when I play brewery gigs, it's kind of like, okay, what am I doing covers? Am I doing originals? Like, this is such a weird vibe in here. Like, it just, it's yeah. like, I'm not quite in one place or the other. I'd rather be on the listening room side of things. But then in this last year, like every time I've played like a brewery gig, I'm like, some fucking drunk piece of shit yeah. is always like, oh, like, you're so pretty. And I'm like, I can't with you right now. Like, yeah. Oh, it's yeah.
But
it's
I'm sure when it's just you, you don't have any backup.
And that's the other thing too. Like, I'm just like fucking alone. And I'm like, this sucks. So I have started taking JP a lot on those. I'll make them like a duo gig. Cause I'm just like, I can't, it's yeah. Cause otherwise it just gets like, you have no barrier. And then it's just like, and for whatever reason, I mean, it's been that way my entire life. I think I just didn't care about it as much in my 20s, where it was like, kind of just like the drunk guys at the bar being like, what's up, pretty lady? You know, like I could rather not. But there's something about like putting yourself on display like that. And it's just like opens itself up for people just being like,
to feel like they can just come talk to you and be like, oh, I'm gonna tell you everything I think.
While I'm like working, I'm like, I actually can't talk to you right now. Like, I need to be singing. Like, get out of here.
Can you get one of those bullhorn things and just don't even say anything.
Correct. Correct. That's exactly what I need. I'd be fired so fast. It would be worth
those gigs, I've been finding them a little difficult.
Yeah.
Like, you're not here to see us. You're here just because we're here. And sometimes it works out well. Like,
yes.
Yeah. But sometimes you're just like, and then you really have to find like, why am I playing music right now?
Yes.
Like I think. And then you have to, like, all right, we're playing the music for the music. Let's just play the music.
Right.
Ignore everything that else is happening.
Yes.
And have fun.
That's good, too.
Work to do that. And I had more trouble younger doing that than I do now. Like, all right, let's just honor the music and play it.
Tap into that mind space.
Yeah, because it is like, that's a tough thing too, where like, I know a lot of people get really bitter about that really fast, where it's like, no one's listening to me. And I'm like, I don't, like, I play enough gigs where people are listening to me and people are there for me. And I'm like, also, I think that comes from just like personal, like how you feel about yourself personally. If you have enough self-worth to be like, I'm going to go and play this like brewery bar gig, and it's not going to be the same as Cafe Lena. It's not going to be the same as the Cock and Bull. It's not going to be the same. And that's fine, because maybe I'll be able to reach somebody. That's like kind of how I feel about it now,
and
too.
Being background music for a place like that is fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's part of it.
And it's fun. And when you are on the other side of it, good background music sets the tone
for
the whole
thing,
you know?
But also, like, the... sometimes you can be like, no one's listening. Like, let's take some
chances.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's just do something.
100%.
Let's open up this jam a little bit. Like, Bird Jam the other night. Like, we just kind of like, let's just do it, you know?
That was
got nothing to lose.
I love that. That it was funny. The last Wolf Hollow gig we played, I was like, this will just be a bar gig. No one will be listening. And like halfway through, it was like, everyone was like,
I love Wolf Hollow too.
Yeah. I love it. And so like everyone's sitting there listening, and then it turned into just like people being like, hey, play this one, play that one. So then JP and I are just like, okay, like just playing all these covers and playing all this, and people just calling things out, and then they're like, play an original. I was like, okay. And we're just like doing this thing, and it was so fun.
Yeah.
It was like so much fun. But then it was like all these like random people walking in and being like not understanding the vibe, and like I could see them being like, we're going to go outside. It's just like, I don't understand what is this vibe. Like, I can't handle this. But it was so fun. And I love the vibes there are just always great too.
Yeah.
Like, I love Wolf Hollow, and everybody who works there is always so nice and amazing. So maybe I should have Pete on this podcast.
Yeah. Bring him in.
That would be so fun. Oh my God. I haven't like sat and talked to him in a long time either too. That would be fun as an educator student vibe too.
It's
cool.
For sure.
But thank y'all so much for doing this. We've hit the hour, which is pretty wild. I feel like it always goes by so fast.
I'm going to say one story from last night.
Please.
Real quick. So I was at a retirement party last night.
Okay.
And it was like downtown Schenectady at the big old, I forget what the room is, but totally cool. Anyway, and people were just dancing away. And then I just walked in and Light On was playing. And
Get
it was
out.
Like the most people were dancing. Like
what?
The whole floor was
no
pretty
way.
Full.
They just had it on like... On like
it was
a playlist,
Chrissy O'Reilly,
a
good friend. I think she probably put it on the playlist.
Slipped it
in
there. Most people probably had no idea who we are, you know, sort of thing. And it just killed last night.
I love that.
I was like, this song's pretty good.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm dancing to my own song. That's very meta.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, dude, I love hearing me or anybody that I know as a, like personally as a musician of the area coming on WEXT, like. it is a local radio station, but I'm just like, oh my God, you know, like,
these are my friends.
Yeah. Good job, you guys. Yeah.
I am hearing you right now. Yeah. Next week.
Oh, that is always a very cute text to get where it's like, just heard you on the radio. And it's like, oh, like, thank you for listening. That's always like that's very sweet.
And taking the time to
Yeah, 100%. I had, last year I started, people were sending me, it was like to my parents' house, but cause like all the people from my childhood have my parents' address, but people were sending me like newspaper clippings and like little cards, like say like all this stuff like that was, I was like, oh my God. And I was like getting these like little notes from people who like took the time to cut my face out of a newspaper and then like put it in a card and be like, congrats. And like send it to me. I was like, oh, thank you. Nice. Yeah. It was really nice. It's very like, it's, you know, it's so, it feels like it's like minute, but when you're just kind of starting, it's like all those like little things are like, oh my God, sure. It's very sweet. Yeah. So, but yeah, thank you all so much. Anything else we want to touch on before we leave?
No, just, you know, just
where can people find you?
Let's just think. Oh, we are at
topsoftrees.com.
Is that it?
Nice.
Topsoftrees.com. That's pretty easy.
Yeah, it is really easy. I'm always like, is there a 518? No, that's our email. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Topsoftrees.com. On Instagram.
All
right?
Socials, Spotify, the huge.
If people haven't heard you before, what would you tell them is the first song to listen to?
Oh, boy. Well. Light On, I guess I'm gonna go with Light On. People were dancing to it last night. I think it captures a lot of what we do. The album's gonna be called Do Something, so by the time you're listening to it, that's out.
It's so hard that that's our album title, because every time I hear the Do Something when I'm speaking or anybody else is speaking, I'm like, Do Something.
it's like, in there now.
That's a real earworm.
The earworm. Oh, that's great, though.
So that was inspired by Michelle Obama's speech at the Democratic House. She was like, Do Something, and somehow that just clicked in my brain, and I just wanted to write a song about
how we
can do something.
Yeah, very poignant in these times.
Yeah, in these times, for sure. Oof. And that's it. And we're going to be planning our library tour, so be ready.
Yes, be ready for our library tour.
Get your bookmark.
I'm like actually serious, though.
Yeah, I mean, libraries are like my favorite places.
Me too.
Like the church. Well, the woods and the church.
The woods.
The woods and the libraries. Those are the
two woods
churches.
And the library. Yeah,
what
correct.
About a library in the woods.
Well, that would be church. Too good. I would like. I would just be like, I can't leave. Yeah, I would never. That's a fairy trap.
Thank you
for me.
Thank you
guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming.
Talking to normal people.